Wednesday, and I won't share it again on your behalf, but God is just doing a mighty work in Mike's life. God is showing his loving kindness, his faithfulness, his pursuit. If you think that you ran too fast, too hard, or too far, or too crooked, listen, Mike can tell you that that's not true. That the Lord is faithful. I'm going to preach half of this. I'm going to preach my just the second of 3 points, and I'm going to preach the third one tonight. It's my favorite one. The third point is almost always my favorite, okay? And it's about picking up the mantle of Elijah and the story of Elisha and all of the powerful things that he did. So normally I just tell you, catch it on the recording. But if you can come back to church tonight, please come back to church tonight. Please come back at 6 and let me preach this to you. Because I wanted to preach the entirety of the sermon, but knew that I might not be able to do that without wearing you away. And so I need to break it up. But just come back for the rest of the sermon tonight if you can. And otherwise, we'll post it when we can. But we've been speaking about a refined church. We've been calling that back to the church in Thyatira because this, I don't know, I may preach for the first 6 months of the year to the letters to the 7 churches in Revelation because they're relevant to us. God has something to say to you today. God has something to say to our church today. God has something to say to this world today. And the Lord is speaking. He's not just speaking to preachers or apostles or prophets or worship pastors or missionaries, but God is speaking to you. God is trying his best to get the attention of this world. We are in a time of great harvest. You are in a time in your life of great harvest. You were made for this moment. The Lord has brought your life up to this moment. Understand, I'm not just speaking a motivational speech right now. I'm not just trying to throw some Dr. Phil speak at you, but I'm telling you that the days of your life were numbered. They were written down in the book of the Lord. He ordained them for you. He prepared good. That's the scripture. That's scripture. That's the infallible word of God. He ordained and he ordered them. And then he prepared a moment in time where you could have a radical conversion, where you could have a moment that you said, my life can look different. This is your moment. This, I don't care how many you've squandered. I don't care how many you've turned away from. I don't care how many you've used up. I don't care how many you've embraced and experienced the fruit of. This is your moment. Saint, this is your moment. Sinner, this is your moment. Prodigal, this is your moment. We are at a prime time to experience the supernatural power of God. Last week, I talked about the supernatural partnership that we have with God. I want to talk about supernatural power this morning. And then tonight, I want to speak just a little bit about the supernatural platform that God wants to put you on. There is so much usefulness for your life. There is so much purpose for your life. Every single one of you. God has something ahead of you. God has something ahead of his church. God has something ahead of his people that we never could have discerned. Even in the sweetest of spiritual moments, we couldn't have grasped it because the goodness of God is so deep like that. Let's go back to what God said to the church in Revelation. And half of us probably are getting close to memorizing this passage because I've read it so many times. On Wednesday nights especially, we have worn these scriptures out. We've just recently started looking at how it relates to the life of the prophet Elijah. The reason why is because the church in Thyatira had a problem, had a parasite, had a sickness, a disease, a cancer, and it was the spirit of Jezebel. And the only way to conquer the spirit of Jezebel is with the spirit of the Most High God. And we saw him do it literally, obviously, tangibly through the prophet Elijah and an actual queen named Jezebel. All of that was put in on purpose. So we're spending a lot of time on it because there's so much depth to it. But here's what he said in Revelation chapter 2. To you I say and to the rest of Thyatira and as many as do not have this doctrine, the doctrine of Jezebel is what that's referring to. Do not have the doctrine of Jezebel who have not known the depths of Satan. And I hope that we can all raise our hand and say, that's me. I ain't with her. I'm with the Lord. If you got the doctrine of Jezebel, we can take a time out. You can repent right now and you can get right with the Lord. You probably should. You definitely should, right? Do a quick check. You ever been in a service where you got so convicted? Don't lie. You know you have. You got so convicted that you got right with Jesus right then because you didn't want to have to do it with everybody else,
right? I mean, I have been so convicted in a sermon that I was like, I can't wait till the altar call. Lord, I'm just repenting right now. Make my life right now, so that I don't have to let this part of the sermon apply to me, so that I can take the rest of it and say. So I'm telling you right now that if you feel like you've got mixed up with this world, you can get right now. You'll enjoy the rest of the sermon so much more if you just get right with Jesus in this moment. In fact, let's just pray before I finish this scripture and get into the word. Let's all just set our hearts apart for the Lord. Lord, we sanctify right now in our hearts. Lord, your name, Jesus, your name is sacred. If there's any way, Lord, that we have taken your name for granted, that we have taken your grace in vain, that we have not received it in a way that leads to righteousness, in a way that leads to holiness and repentance, I pray that you would correct that. Correct our thinking. Correct our ways that we have compromised and cut those ties with this world. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that every stronghold would be broken, that every tie with the world would be cut off, that every voice of the enemy would be silenced, that the handwriting that was against every person in this room would be wiped away. You nailed it to the cross, Lord, and we accept that provision. And Lord, we commit to walking in your power, in the authority of your word, and we submit to this word, because the devil will submit to this word. When we submit to you, we come into agreement with that. And Lord, we surrender to your word and to your power and give thanks for the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So this is what he said to the church, to everybody that had broken up with Jezebel, who haven't known the depths of Satan or who never got with Jezebel. As they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And guess what? The reason why I could preach 100 sermons on that is because you have to live it 365 days a year. You held on yesterday, you got to hold on today. You held on last year, you got to hold on this year. You held on last week, you got to hold on this week. Don't you ever loosen your grip on the power of God. Don't you ever loosen your grip on the will of God, because the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But the thief is what the Bible actually calls him. He is a thief. Some of you need to take back what he stole from you. That's, we used to sing a song. Well, I went to the enemies, y'all know it, and I took back what he stole from me. Then you remember that next part? If you was really holy, you could do a jig to that. He's under my feet, he's under my feet. But if you couldn't do a jig, you just did this. Right? That's like you're doing with your neck what other people could do with their feet, the spiritual shuffle. Some of y'all know that shovel, which we don't have slick enough carpets or something. I don't know. We need to oil up the floors. I don't know, but... anyway, Satan is under my feet. Hold fast, hold fast. That's what the Lord means for you to do. He who overcomes and keeps my works till the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They will be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I have also received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so this is the promise that he gave us. He gives us just a few bullet point promises in that. I'm about to wrinkle my Bible. That we will have power, that we will have ultimate power from God. That's great. That's great. He's going to dash the nations to pieces. But that we will also have immediate power. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm able to go and be some global force that political parties are going to look to me and listen to my wisdom, but it means that the spirit, the supernatural forces that are at work in government, at work in world powers, at work against the will of God, that the church can unite and stand in prayer and see the purposes of God prevail, and even see the grace and the justice and the mercy of God roll over this earth. And I'll tell you where I stand on what we just did in the Middle East. Let justice roll like a river. Let justice roll, and let the word of God prevail, and let liberty come to the captives, that the name of the Lord may be proclaimed in every nation, and that salvation may come to every unreached people group, and may every other name fall, not to the name of America, not to the name of any leader, but to the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, and the life, and whatever it takes to get the name of Jesus proclaimed to every nation, and to get the spirit of oppression broken off of the oppressed. I want to see it done however it has to happen. I'll come into agreement with that any day of the week. Let the name of Jesus be lifted high. Let liberty come to the captives. Let recovery of sight come to the blind. Can we begin to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of returning to the Lord, and can we experience it in our own lives? But whether I see it on the earth, whether I see it in government, whether I see it in politics, we can see it in the spiritual realm. We can see it. We can see immediate authority and also ultimate authority. I know that Jesus rules over everything and that heaven makes all things right. But I also know that he makes us okay today, no matter what today looks like. He said he'll dash them to pieces, but you will take the rod and rule over the nations. That's ultimate and immediate. He also promised us in this, and I see that it's 11:48, and I'm going to preach a little bit about Elijah. And then Rustin's going to get in here. Gabe's going to tag team Rustin, and he's going to come back to play for the altars. And we're not going to be too late, but you have to listen fast. And I'm going to speak fast, so stay tuned in. I just yelled like that. I try to throw a few yells in every 90 seconds. I'll do some hollering, all right? Chaos does not diminish the authority of God. You still see the nations that need to be dashed to pieces. You still see the raging of the earth. You still see people that would not let go of the doctrine of Jezebel that were going to have to be dealt with. And all of that chaos never diminished the authority of God. I challenge and encourage you, parent, if there is chaos in your room, you still walk in the authority, or in your home, you still walk in the authority of God. I challenge you, husband, wife, if there is chaos in your marriage, hang on to the word of God and walk in the authority of God. I challenge you, believer, if there is chaos in your life, stay tuned in and focused to the word of God, and you will remain in the authority of God. I'm fixing to get to Elijah, and we'll look at ways that he felt like his authority was slipping away, but God was faithful. So we see that chaos doesn't diminish the authority of God. And then we see that the supernatural invades the midst of the natural. The supernatural comes in to this church, honestly, is one of the most interesting, because he didn't even tell, and I've spoken about this the last 3 or 4 times I've preached it, he didn't even tell all the Jezebel lovers to repent. I think they were past repentance. They'd been given over to a reprobate mind. They had gotten to a point where they were just simply not going to repent. Let me just give you a sovereign truth right there. If you spend enough days saying, I'll repent tomorrow, I'll fix this tomorrow, but I need this to prosper me today, there will be a moment in your conscience and in your spirit where you are so far past listening that it will not happen. There was a day when every one of those that were a part of the church of Thyatira was on fire for the Lord, loved the Lord, had pledged their lives for the Lord, and they said, I'll get right tomorrow, but let me play today. I'll get serious tomorrow, but I'm not ready to do it today. The promises of God are yes and amen, but you will run out of tomorrows. So make your mind up, because there will be a point where God stops calling for repentance and he starts calling for judgment. And then the supernatural work of the Lord will be so obvious. And so that's where this church is at. We see that. There are some that are being absolutely put away with, put to death, literally put to death there. That it's there is a whole portion, a whole faction that is not being called to repentance, but is being sent to destruction by their own choosing. You have to come to a place that you say, I'm so desperate for the hand of God that no matter what my natural life looks like today, it's got to become a supernatural operation. I can't live in the natural anymore because I'm getting way too comfortable in the natural. You need to be as scared if you're comfortable in the natural as if you're miserable in the natural. If you're sitting there in your natural life and you're going, I think I'm making it just fine. Friend, you are in danger and you need to get out as fast as you can, and you need to step back from everything in your natural senses that you lean on that comforts you, that silences the voice of God, that silences conviction, and you need to lean into the supernatural, and you need to press after the promises of God, because today is the day. And we see that through the life of Elijah that anybody can have that day. Anybody can find that day. So let's look at the life of this crazy man for the next 7 minutes. I've already preached the fun part when he was a stable man and he was a strong man and he came across the prophets of Baal and he told Ahab, go check for rain. Or he told, sorry, his servant, go check for rain. He told Ahab, you need to get the chariot ready. You're about to see rain come. And then his servant came back and said, I don't see no rain. And Elijah said, check again, check again, check again. That was the chapter before. And now all of a sudden we got a crazy man. I don't know if this is proper church speech. I don't know. A ninny. How about that? That's proper church speech. A ninny. We got a ninny running around right here. Okay? We see in 1 Kings 19 a completely different man from 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is really weird. Get ready. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to operate in the supernatural, get ready, because you're going to have days where you go, why in the world is this bothering me? Yesterday, I could have spit in Goliath's face. And today, a gnat buzzed around me, and I fell apart. Because you're not God. You're a vessel of God, but you're not God. And vessels crack up sometimes. And this old boy cracked up. He heard a rumor. And this is wild, because I'm talking chapter before, you got wicked men just thumping their chest at him, and he's not batting an eye. Somebody comes and tells him, Jezebel said she was going to kill you. And he went, oh! And he ran a whole day's journey into the wilderness. He ran. He turned around and ran. I promise you that everybody that had been flexing over Elijah was looking at him like, maybe he forgot something back there. And then eventually somebody's like, I don't think he's coming back. And they were like, a bee's chasing him, guys. That's all that's going on. He had something he had to do, a day's journey into the wilderness. Or maybe they did the spiritual thing. He's just gone to pray. We've all done that too, ain't you? You've been like, I gotta go pray. Y'all, We had our minister's meeting this week. I don't have time for stories. I'll say it really fast. And Jordan's so good at these. He doesn't ever have toilet paper on his shoe, and he just comes in there just like, I'm not scared of anyone. And as soon as I walk in there, Tisha, you're just going to love this. At least it was Joe. At least it was one of our friends. Jordan's been shaking hands. A woman doesn't know what to do in handshaking. And I go to shake Joe's hand. Jordan, did you witness this moment? Jordan saw it. He got secondhand embarrassed. I go to shake Joe's hand, and he goes to hug me, and I said, oh, okay. Why couldn't I just be cool? Why couldn't I just be like, hi, Joe. Oh. And I wanted to run one day's journey into the wilderness. I wanted to run a day's journey. Tisha has actually seen me sit beside and put my arm on the back of a man that wasn't my husband before, or something like that. And then I think I said to him, oh, you're not my husband. I grabbed him more. I just grabbed him some more. You know, instead of just that slight touch, you're not my husband. Excuse me. And then I had to inch out of the row. We were sitting in a church row. Excuse me. Go one row back. This is my husband. I knew. I've had plenty of run, a day's journey into the wilderness kind of moments. And it usually happens with those silly things. Silly things. Just a lie comes into your mind, or you just get shook. You get shook over no good reason, but you're still so shook. And then we react this dramatic. I really don't anymore. I ain't got no pride. But you can react this dramatically sometimes. He goes and he plops himself under a broom tree, and he says, I would rather the Lord just take my life. And it wasn't like, kill me now, like we all say that sometimes, but it was like, I think I would just rather die. I mean, he seriously was suicidal. He was genuinely suicidal. Sorry, I just have to paraphrase this because the whole chapter is this story. And so the Lord nourishes him, and the Lord speaks to him, and he actually says, what's wrong with you? And here's what Elijah said. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord. He's still, by the way, all of the works that God has done through you, when you get to this moment of a crack up, you'll know you're cracking up when you're thinking, you're patting yourself on the back about everything that you've done for God. You're cracking up, okay? You are going crazy. When you sit there and you say, look at everything I've done for God. You're going crazy. And then the next part, you're real crazy. He said something real crazy.
I'm the only one left.
That is rich. They didn't even have internet. He did not know if he was the only one left or not. He is one day's journey into the wilderness. Of course he's the only one left. He ran away from everyone else. And so he said, I'm the only one left, and I should die right now. And this says a lot to me. God sends an angel. God lets him rest. And then the angel bakes him a little cake. I'm serious. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I double-checked, triple-checked this. But that is seriously, when you are cracking up, don't eat salad during that time. It makes it so much worse. You need to go carbs. You need to go sweets. You need to go donuts, cakes. It's in the Bible. I'm serious. That's what it said. The angel baked him a little cake. He didn't even get manna. The Israelites got manna. He didn't even get manna. He gets a little cake. And that is mercy. That's mercy, right? When I have a crazy person sitting at my kitchen table, I'm not about to feed them cake. For one thing, I'm trying to get them out of my house as soon as possible, usually. But, like, we are not trying to get comfortable in this madness. But also, you're frustrated. The Lord shows zero frustration. I'm about to tell you a truth. The Lord is not frustrated with you. He wants to fix this. He wants to help you. But if you've come in here carrying shame because you think, oh, God must be so frustrated, the supernatural is about to come to the midst of a very natural circumstance. It's okay for you to look at that meltdown and say, things just got real natural here. I'm really like in the real world. And God wants to show up and say, I can come to this and I can dash all that nonsense into pieces. I rule over the nations. I can rule over your emotions. I can rule over your meltdown. I can rule over your fear. I can rule over your mistake. I can rule over your whole day's run into the wilderness. I can rule over the people that you just left behind. I can rule over everything that just happened because the supernatural doesn't just settle in a supernatural place, but it invades the natural and it does the work of God. But you have got to wake up and listen and receive. And when God puts something beautiful and sweet before you, you have got to take and eat. And then he sends him on. But I think I should wait because I'm not even going to preach the rest of this point. Gabe, you can go swap out because I'm going to just stop right here because there's more actually of this story. What do you think it's like when Gabe steps into kids' church? All right, y'all. Where's the Kool-Aid? I'm pretty thirsty. And so he goes ahead and sends him on. And after he's been nourished, I can just preach this one more thing to you. He sends him. You think he's going to, like, go to a starter mountain, a hill. You, like, think he's going to just send him to the hill of the Lord. He sends him to the mount of the Lord. He sends him to Mount Sinai, to the place where the glory dwells. Because God doesn't just mean to make you not crazy today. And trust me, we all have those moments where we have to get fixed by God. We have to be made not crazy. Ask Louis how many times he's heard me look at Jordan and say, I'm filled with murderous rage towards you right now. Don't laugh that loud, Louis. One time today. And you know what? You know what? That's as crazy as I'm going to get. And I'm just saying it tongue in cheek. With it. But that we are so people-y. We are so human. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is so hard. And I don't just say that for me and him. I say it for you. And we can all try to be really faithful and really spiritual and say, no, it's so easy. This is so hard. God didn't call us to something easy. And so if you're sitting right here, and Russ, you can go ahead and come up. If you're sitting right here and you're like, it's easy for everybody else. No, it's not. It's not. We've run a day into the wilderness. We've sat under a broom tree. We've just learned to take and eat and rest and get up and run again. It's not so complex. I'm telling you, I'm telling a lot of us, I'm telling myself, it's not so hard. Not for God. It's not so, how about this? It is simple, but it is hard. I shouldn't have said it's not so hard. It's not so complex. Because I do know that what I'm asking you to do is difficult, to trust Jesus with everything, to receive things that you don't deserve, to walk in a power that you couldn't manufacture. But that's what God has for every single one of us this morning. So if you'd stand, and like I said, I want to preach the rest of this to y'all, but I got to do it tonight because we need to get in the altars with this. If you'd stand this morning and just bow your head, let me pray over you. Thank you, God, for this people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he is the voice in the wilderness for us. He is the nourishment. He is the refresher. He is the one that redeems, that restores, that even raises back to life. And I pray, God, that you would just draw us in, that you would draw us to a place of receiving from you, that you would draw us to a place where we can have this reset, where we can say, I may be in the wilderness, but the Lord will find me here, and the Lord will send me on to a place of glory, to a place of meeting with him. Church, we'll all be in these altars in a minute. Let's make that commitment that we'll all be in these altars calling on the Lord in a minute. But for those of you that say, I need to be refreshed from the Lord, I need a touch from God, I've had that moment, I've had that just very natural, I'm weary, I'm worn, I'm frustrated, I'm fearful, whatever it may be. And for everyone that responds, it may be different. Can you come forward first so that we can come around you and pray with you? Can I tell you this, that one of the best gifts of the Lord is your fellow believers that pray over you. You heard this group of people praying over James. You heard this group of people lifting up their faith. You heard and saw the power that's in the midst of the believers. Come on, there's more in this room. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment of being refreshed by God, of being met by him, of being touched, of being restored to strength and faith. There are more, and I don't want to wait. I want to give the Lord just a minute. Come on, begin to come forward. Those of you that say, I need a touch from God, I need a refreshing, I need for him to just be the solid rock under my feet. Come on, I want to give you just a few more moments. Don't miss this. Jesus, Jesus, rest on us. Rest on us, God. Let your spirit fall in this place. Let your glory dwell in this place. Let us meet you. Let this become just the mount of the Lord. Let this become a place where your glory dwells. Come on, church. Can the rest of you just begin to come forward? Will you step out and let's just call on God and call on his spirit to come and rest on us and work in us. And can I have some to come around Mike, to come around these that have already responded, and just to begin to pray blessing on blessing on blessing over them. Come on, let's just seek after the Lord.